Anybody familiar with that attitude?
Okay. Those of you who must have relationships that way, you have to let go of your fear of being happy immediately by no longer wanting to hold a grievance of fear between you and the other person so that y'all can finally join. Because as soon as I let go of my grievances and my fear, we'll instantly join. So at the point that I'm really serious about joining with somebody, I'll be letting go of everything that keeps me from doing it. And the only thing that's keeping me from doing it is the thoughts in my mind. And so he's telling you, well, you can use some more thoughts. There's a whole other set that we haven't used yet. And you're so lucky, it's Thursday. You get two thoughts for the cost of one. Yeah, throw some free thoughts in.
Woo!
No. Okay?
Thank you. Woo.
The thing about the Course in Miracles is that it tells us what we do all the time. But he says, when someone says back to us what we do, it's so insane that we look like we can't understand it.
Right.
And he says, all you're listening to is the way you think all the time. And when it's presented back to you, you go, that's the craziest thing that I ever heard. Okay? So he says, yet, now look this, I'd use a person called to make some more real. He says, yet the space between you and your brother is apparent only in the present, right now. And the space between you and your brother cannot be perceived in future time. So, no more can the space between you be overlooked except within the present. Future loss is not your fear, but present joining is your dread. So who can feel desolation except now? The cause of something that's going to happen in the future doesn't have any effects yet. And so therefore, must it be that if you fear, there's a present cause. And it is this present cause of your fear that needs correction, not a future state. I love the Course in Miracles. It says so much in about three sentences. Okay. We are seeing each other separate when? Now,
yeah.
All of us sitting up here seeing each other as different people, we agree that we're all sitting up here seeing each other as different bodies right now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that means you cannot see me at a future time. That means you can only see me right now, and I can only see you right now, but you can't see me in the future time. You can only see me now. Can we get agreement on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it says, so I cannot overlook the fact that we are also joined except right now in the present too. If I want to choose to see you as separate from me, then I have to do that right now. I can't do that in the future state. If I'm going to not trust you, I have to not trust you now. Because not trusting you in the future don't make no sense because the future hadn't happened yet. So the Course is telling us that, he says the space between you and your brother is obvious now, so it can't be seen in the future. So if I'm going to overlook the space between us, where am I going to overlook it except right now? If I'm going to treat you right, what other time can I treat you right except right now? If I'm going to be drawn with you in joy, peace, and oneness, when am I going to do it if I don't do it right now? So, ladies and gentlemen, we could do everything we read and studied about right now. Nah, I don't think so. Nope. What are you coming up with? Well, I'm coming up with some reasons why I can't do it right now. Oh, so you're saying you just want to delay a little while before we connect. That's why you're coming up with all the reasons why you can't do it right now. You just want to delay it a little while. Okay. Well, in that delay is when you go through all the hell you go through. And in case you wonder where it's coming from you refusing to let go of whatever it is would heal you right now.
Wow.
So that's you requesting to continue to suffer a little while longer when it could have been resolved tonight.
So
it's like we're getting the answer right now. So if any of us wait another hour in order to be happy, that's just us seeing the grievance we got against ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we're going to wait a little while longer before we practice the truth and let ourselves have everything. That is a physical picture of us having a grievance against ourselves. That's what you always say when you begin to wake up. If somebody doesn't say we're nuts, then we haven't got it yet. Okay, I'm nuts moves you toward I'm sane. I'm nuts moves me toward I'm sane. So I see myself as just a person that will just say back to you what the Course says, not to convince you, but just to say it. Because most times when we go to Course classes, we don't hear what the Course says. You know, we hear what everybody else said. But I like to hear what the Course said. Well, the Course is saying to me that the space between me and you is obviously happening right now. So I can't see anything about us except when, right now. So I'm really not afraid of losing in the future. See, now, you have to, with the course, you have to turn around and just say it to yourself. I'm really not afraid of losing in the future. I'm really not afraid of losing in the future. I know I'm acting like I'm really afraid that I could lose in the future and something could go wrong in the future. But he says, no, you're not really afraid of losing in the future. What you are dreading is your happiness right now. Joining right now. Connecting right now. It's hard for us sometimes to even speak to each other, let alone join. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You're a stranger to me until I communicate to you with you. When I communicate with you, then I watch the barriers begin to drop. But as long as I don't communicate with you, then I'm going to feel like I'm in my separate little prison. Okay. My body shouldn't be a prison, but I've made it out of prison because I told my body to limit me because I don't deserve to be happy because I'm not perfect yet. That's so good. My body's so good at it. My body has me thinking now that I only have a number of years to live and then I die. My body has totally convinced me I'm a human being and that I hurt and that I could be destroyed and that things can go wrong for me. My ego has totally convinced me that I am a body. I've lost sight of my spiritual reality. Now this is a powerful sentence. He says, if you feel desolation, if you feel unhappiness, when are you feeling it?
Now.
Now, okay? Good question. He says, so a future cause doesn't have any effects yet. In other words, the effect of what you're going to do day after tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Think about that for a minute. The effect of what you do day after tomorrow has not happened yet. It doesn't have any effects. There's no effect that anything you think is going to happen to you day after tomorrow has. And that's a trip. It's like when I say day after tomorrow, then I'm going to have cause something to happen. The book is saying, well, you can't create a cause in a future that hasn't happened yet. You can only create something right now. So therefore, if you are afraid, if you are upset, if you are worried, he's saying, then it must be something that's happening right now that's causing it. If I'm afraid, it must be something right now that's frightening me. If I'm angry, it's something that's happening right now that's making me angry. If I'm sad, it's something. He says, it's not what's going to happen tomorrow that's making you feel sad right now. What's making you feel sad right now is you making yourself feel sad right now.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling me. Because I see myself as first and foremost the one who's learning this because I reached the limit of my pain and I no longer want to be right. I want to be happy. So I'm not like testing the credibility of spirit to see if spirit's plan works over mine because I have a plan of my own and I'm checking God's plan out to see if I approve. Right?
As long as it lines up.
And so because my goal in life is to set up challenges for myself and then overcome them so I can see how strong and witty I am.
Oh.
And for God.
That is so deep. That is so deep because I'm trying to prove that I exist separate from God. So in order to prove I exist separate from God, then I have to set up challenges for myself that I overcome on my own in order to prove to myself how powerful I am. And on the other side, there's a plan that has to do with your deserving to have abundance and love and peace and joy and fulfillment in your life just because of who you are and what you are. And I used to be so insane, I thought that was a hard choice. You know, learning how to be happy now and learning how to have it now versus always setting up my happiness in some future time that I got to go through a bunch of stuff in order to get to it. It's right, it's on the other side of the next person, it's on the other side of the next promotion, it's on the side of the next job, it's on the side of the next weight loss. It's like what he's saying. I come up with all these justifications not to have my happiness right now because I'm afraid of to have happiness right now because to have happiness right now, I have to join you. I have to connect with you. So then this is the cool part. Then he says, so therefore, must it be that if you fear, there is a present cause. So if you're afraid, there's a present cause of your fear. If you're jealous, there's a present cause of your jealousy. So it's the present cause of your jealousy or fear or unhappiness that needs corrected, not a future state. So I'm sitting up here right now, and I'm making myself not feel good, well, the truth is, it's what I'm telling myself right now that needs to be corrected. That's the only thing I need to change. If I stop telling myself what I'm telling myself to upset myself right now, then I wouldn't be upset right now, and my fear would be gone right now, and it being gone in the future would no longer matter, because you'd be happy for the first time in your life tonight. Don't you never leave here thinking you couldn't have become totally healed tonight. In an hour from now, don't you ever think that you don't have to go into another hour without having your happiness. In any period of time, in any instant in your existence, you can claim your happiness. Unless you keep making up circumstances that justifies you not having it for a little while longer, which we call our life story and what's going on with us. Let me tell you my latest distraction, because I'm not quite ready to be happy yet. Let me tell you what I come up with. They laying me off. You know, all the stories, you know, that I use to describe what's really happening, which is my own fear of being happy.
Yeah.
So if a person was to leave here tonight and say, you know, the universe isn't denying me my happiness, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. The universe isn't against me. I'm just afraid of what I want. You have a transformation in your consciousness. You would remove a major block to your happiness. I promise you. I promise you, the more you can admit you're wrong, the faster things will go right. I promise you that. I promise you that from the bottom of my heart. There is no payoff in being right when you could be happy. I'm telling you. So he's like, so Spirit is telling us. Now, I love this. This book is so deep. So what is it that needs to be corrected? It's what I'm telling myself right now that's causing the fear I'm feeling right now. It's something I'm telling. And each one of you, I bet you have the thing that you're telling yourself right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not even a thing. I got tons.
Tons?
Anybody got more than one thing?
All my plans and designs, everything.
Anybody got more than one thing that they're using to keep them? You know, do you live in an if this, then that kind of world? Like, if this happens, then I can do that. You know, that's the most illusionary world the truth teaches that's possible to live in. It's called the if this, then that world. You know, so it's letting us know that I don't care what, y'all, guess what? We could have all our problems resolved, all conflict removed, and be totally healed and have only love and peace and happiness and abundance in our life right now. And I don't care whether you believe me or not. I do not care. I promise you I don't. So let's see what it says about that. Shall we? I feel like a mad scientist. The truth, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know. Y'all gonna get to know me one day and you're gonna really like me. I'm still in the revealing stage. Reveal some more of my truth to you tonight. Whatever's making you afraid right now, it must be something you're telling yourself right now. You know, if you don't have some fun, you're going to die. What did he die from, Job? Never having fun. He just kind of passed out one day in his sleep. You know, he never had fun, though. I tell you. So sometimes I get too serious, and I just act, you know, just go off. So my personality is completely unpredictable, even to me. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I tell people that all the time, you know. I say, I used to tell women, I used to they say, I don't know when I'm going to be turned on. You know, I'm not just going to be turned on just because you're a woman. I've been around too long for that. Now it's time to be turned on by what you are. Yeah. And see, when that happens, I promise you I'm going to have a reaction and I won't be able to help myself. So until that happens, I know I'm not dealing with something real for me. And so after a while, you learn how to tell when something's best for you. Because when it is, it wants you as much as you want it.
Yeah.
And you won't bring no pain to either one of you. You know when the real, we know how to tell when the real deal is showing up. But if I don't love myself, I ain't gonna let myself have somebody to treat me that good. They are keeping me from being healed because I believe my healing lies in suffering. And the quicker you let me suffer, the more you let me suffer, the quicker I'll be healed. So I can't have nobody to treat me right. Then I couldn't suffer long enough to heal. Now, doesn't that sound crazy?
Yeah.
See, it's the way we think. We heard it back. It sounds insane. Well, let's see what it says. It says, the plans you make for safety are all laid within the future. Right? I'm making these plans, and it's going to take care of my future. Okay? All right? He says, the future, though, is where you cannot plan. So if you're going to do some planning, you can never do it in the future because you're trying to plan at a time that doesn't exist yet. So you can't plan in the future. Okay? Then he tells us, you know why? Because you haven't given any purpose to your future yet. And so what's going to happen in the future really doesn't have a cause yet. And so how can you predict effects when you don't even have a cause? And who would fear effects unless he thought the effects had been caused and you judge them as disastrous now? So every time you believe in sin, every time you believe in guilt, every time you believe that you're not enough, and I can give all these alternate definitions, he said it arouses fear. It's like your fear is like... And then as soon as you think a bad thought about it, you know, I'll never be enough. Fear goes, You're arousing your fear every time you put yourself down in any way. This gives a whole new meaning to this phrase, truth hurts. Okay,
yeah.
So the course then says, the plans you make for safety are all laid within the future where you can't plan because no purpose has been given to your future yet. In other words, what's going to happen hasn't been caused yet. So how are you going to predict what's going to happen in the future when the things that's going to cause what happens in the future hasn't happened yet? And why are you afraid of something unless you think it's already been caused? And since you think it's already been caused, and you think it's already happening to you, you're judging it as disastrous now. Every time you believe in sin or guilt, it arouses fear. And like its cause, it's looking forward, looking backwards, but you're overlooking what's here and now. Because it's only here and now that must be causing your fear. And if its effects already have been judged, it's fearful. And so if every time we overlook that whatever making us afraid is something that we're telling ourselves right now, whenever we overlook that whatever is upsetting ourselves is something we're telling ourselves right now, whenever we overlook the fact that if we're feeling anything, the only time we're feeling it is right now and making ourselves feel it right now, that's how I protect my fear. That's how I keep my fear. I keep my fear by overlooking that I'm the one that's making myself afraid by what I'm telling myself right now. You keep your fear by forgetting the fact that you're the one that's telling yourself the thing that's upsetting you right now. It's not the thing you think you're upset about that's upsetting you right now. What's upsetting you right now is the thing you're telling yourself about it. It's what you're telling yourself about your life that's making you feel the way you feel. It's what you're telling yourself about your mate that's making you feel the way you feel. It's what you're telling yourself about your job that's making you feel the way you feel. And that can be really, really good or really, really bad. That's just the law. So the miracle is now. It stands already here in present grace within the only interval of time that sin and fear have overlooked, which is now. That's the only time there is. If I feel bad about myself, it's about something I'm telling myself about what I did in the past. If I'm afraid, it's about something I'm telling myself that might happen in the future. So the Course in Miracles is saying a miracle is nothing but you recognizing that where you really exist is in right now. That your past is not happening and your future is but imagined. And that's the truth for everybody in this room. The only time thing that's happening is we're here now. Everything else, we're making it up as we go along. Agree?
Yep.
I mean, isn't that obvious? It says the truth is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, the working out, that means the working out of all correction takes no time at all. So I'll say that another way. It doesn't take any time at all to be corrected. It doesn't take any time to have a correction. It doesn't take any time to have a healing. It doesn't take any time to have a correction. So I just like to hear stuff like that, don't you? Just to hear sentences like that. That the working out of all correction takes no time. That's a new belief that we have to start having. We have to start to, at some level, accepting the idea that we can have immediate solutions and stop always projecting them into the future. That's what the truth is telling us. Do you really want to have happiness now? Well, stop looking for it in the future. Okay? So he says, I love this. He said, now what's the problem then? If I can have the correction in an instant, and if I can have the answer in the instant, what's the problem? Why hasn't that happened? He says, well, the acceptance of the working out can seem to take forever. So you mean what I'm experiencing is taking a long time is my acceptance of the working it out? Yeah, you won't accept the working out of it. Yeah, you could add a correction today, Earl, but you're not accepting the answer. And you know what? Your waiting to accept the answer could just be forever. You know, you could wait to accept the answer for the next 10,000 years. So yeah, you could be healed immediately, but you could decide to wait as long as you want to. So we are being lovingly told we can wait as long as we want to. And we're loved in the meantime.
Yeah.
But we can wait as long as we want to. Isn't that loving?
Yes.
He says the working out of correction doesn't take any time at all, but the acceptance of the working out can seem to take forever. Have you ever wondered that if you put God in charge or Spirit in charge and you told Spirit to take over, that the Spirit would just go ahead and take over and give you all the effects that you need to see? You know, have you ever said, well, if I'm giving it to God, how come I don't see it happen right now? I'm really giving it up. But that's what he's saying in the next sentence. The change of purpose the Holy Spirit brought to your relationship has in it all the effects you will see. He says, you know, we have now changed our purpose. That our purpose used to be fear and separation. Now our purpose is love. Our purpose is connecting. And so the Course says that purpose is going to give us all the effects that we could possibly want to see. That your new purpose to be more loving is going to give you effects of love like nothing you've ever seen before in your life. He said, they can be looked at now. Is anybody else looking at the book with me? Does it say that next to the last sentence that they can be looked at now? Then it's saying the effects that you want to see could be looked at right now. So I need to hear that. The purpose of love, the love I want to experience, it could be looked at right now. See, that's a different belief. But it's not positive thinking. That's the truth, because you all know the only place we exist is now. So where else could our good be located? We don't exist in the future. We exist now. We're in this room together right now. So that means anything that we could possibly experience, that we could ever are going to experience, we can only experience it right now because this is where we are. That's so sane to sound crazy. It doesn't even look like somebody tried to tell me that.
Right.
You know, why do you need to tell me that something's going to come to me where I am? Because you keep acting like it's going to be in the past or the future. That's why I'm telling you that. You're still looking forward to the next person, the next circumstance, next week. And I'm trying to tell you, Earl, it could be looked at right now. You need to walk out of here tonight telling yourself you could look at the things that you love and desire and fulfill you and it's real for you. You could experience it right now. Then the next question is the next obvious question he says we would ask. Well, why wait until they unfold in time? And why fear they may not come, even though it's already here? He's like, well, why do I need to wait until it unfolds in time? If it's already here, why do I need to wait? He says, you've been told that everything brings good that comes from God. He says, you've been told that everything brings good that comes from God, and yet it seems as if this isn't so. It doesn't seem like everything this good comes from God. He says, good in disastrous form is difficult to credit in advance.
Yeah.
Right now I'm going through hell, but it sure is serving a good purpose. I'm suffering, but it's going to really do me some good. That's what he says. Good in disastrous form. It's a good thing, but it looks like a disaster. Well, he says, well, if it looks like a disaster, you're not going to say it's a good thing at the very beginning. If you are miserable or unhappy, you're not going to look at it as it's a good thing in the very beginning if it's good in disastrous form. So you're not feeling good about something you see as a disaster is the same reaction. So So we're innocent in all our feelings. All our feelings are just reactions to a situation that's happening right then. And if we're sane, it's a natural reaction to that situation, which is, I don't care if it is for my own good. It feels like a disaster to have a truck run over my leg. And so when the truck is running over my leg, I'm not going to credit it as something good in advance. I'm not going to say, God, this is good for me when my leg is crunching. And then he asked the question. He said, there's no sense in that. Stop doing that, Earl. He said, stop doing that. Stop going through disasters and then telling yourself that it's a disaster that you had to go through for your own good. It's that kind of stuff that shakes me to my core because I'm so deeply programmed to look at it the other way. Haven't you? Did some of y'all feel some resistance to that? Yeah. Then he asks us the question, all right, for those of you who have a hard time with that idea, why should your good appear in the form of something bad happening to you? Why should your good appear in the form of something bad happening to you? I want to ask you, well, why should your good appear in the form of something negative or fearful or bad happening to you? I'd like to pose that question to the group. I'd like to hear you all tell me the reasons why it's good for you to have unhappiness and pain and struggle. Okay, I just throw the floor open right now.
It's
visceral,
it's all illusion, so it doesn't matter.
It's a lesson I have to learn. Stuff that we're hiding. So we can look at it?
I've been telling myself for years that all of my lessons were for my better.
Sure, part. My lesson.
That's what they're there for, is to help me grow, and that's a good thing. And it's hard for me to hear that. That's not a good thing.
No, he's just saying that he's not saying it's not a good thing. He's just saying, how would you like to learn that same lesson without the pain? That's all I'm saying. That's what it's saying. It's just saying, why should your good come in the form of a disaster?
Some of us have been programmed that suffering will get us what we're supposed to have.
Right. And so in that belief, we attract suffering to ourselves and then wonder where it comes from. Mm-hmm. And see, that's where it comes from. We believe that it serves a useful purpose. That's what the course is saying. You believe it serves a useful purpose, then therefore you throw it to yourself and you get a chance to use it. So in a sense, it's almost like it's almost funny. It's like he's saying we are setting up these challenges for ourselves just to prove how strong we are. Right. And then he's saying, well, it wasn't necessary to go through that in order to get the thing that you're suffering for.
Well, isn't that just the same whole fear of God that we think sacrifice is part of the price?
And sacrifice is such a big part of our belief system. The Course says that the idea of us being happy without having to sacrifice something is the hardest belief for us to accept. The fact that we could have something without having to give up something or lose something, he said, that's the hardest thing. He said, you don't know what the hardest belief to get you jugglers to accept? To get you jugglers to accept, you could just be given something. That's just how deep y'all often fear. Y'all forgot that it's even possible for something to just be shared with you freely because all your relationships are so based on bargains, you can't imagine just someone giving something to you because of who you are. It's like, you know, didn't you see that? So you set up these obstacles that you have to overcome in order to prove that you're good enough to deserve these things. So you set up your own obstacle course to give yourself the prize you had because you're the one who put it at the end of the obstacle course. It's like me owning a diamond and then setting up an obstacle course and then putting the diamond at the end of the obstacle course as a reward for me. It was my diamond from the very beginning. I could have just had the diamond without the obstacle course and been really appreciating and loving the diamond. That's what he's telling us, you know. It's so deep, man, how I have to be trained to believe I deserve the best that life has to offer. That I'm having to be educated to then convinced. You know, it's like, you've got to prove this to me. Well, you don't know. It sounds suspicious. You know what I'm saying? It's like you check out all our various reactions. It tells me a lot about how much we deserve to be happy. So he says, it's deception if your good appears in the form of evil. In other words, if you can have happiness at all, then the cause of your happiness must be right here. It must be wherever you are. It must be in the life that you're living. It must be in you. If it's here, he says, if it appears at all, it's got to be here. If this appeared at all, it's got to be here. If this appeared at all, it's got to be here. So he's saying that everything we want, if it's really here, then the cause of it has got to be here right now. Oh, this is so funny. Check this out, y'all. It says, why in the future? He says, why are not the effects of your good apparent right now? Isn't that a great question? Well, why isn't it obvious that my good is here right now? Why isn't it obvious? Why do I have to keep on waiting to the future before I have the thing that fulfills me? Why do I have to keep waiting until the future? Then the Course says, and so what you do is you seek to be content with sighing and with reasoning. You don't understand it now, but you will one day.
Oh, dear.
Anybody recognize that? Anybody recognize that? I don't understand it now why my happiness isn't apparent right now, but I will one day.
Mm-hmm.
Then its meaning will be clear. At the end of my life, I know why I went through that marriage. Then the end and the... I don't understand why I'm in it right now, but I will one day. He said it. I thought the book just pegs us. Then it goes on and it says, guess what? He says, to think that you're suffering right now and then one day you'll understand why you went through it. He says, that's not reason. That's unjust. That's unfair. That clearly hints a punishment until the time of liberation is at hand. What you're really doing is punishing yourself until you're liberated. He says, you guys are punishing yourselves until you're liberated. What do you mean I'm punishing myself until I be liberated? Well, you're not happy right now, completely, and you're telling yourself that you will one day. Well, that's you punishing yourself until the time of your liberation. This made me so mad the first time I read it. He says, given a change of purpose for the good, there's no reason for an interval in which disaster strikes to be perceived as good someday, but now in the form of pain. If you decide today that you are going to be good and you're going to be loving and you're going to be sane and you're going to be giving, this book says, if that's what you just did, then there should be no reason why you shouldn't be receiving the benefits of that new attitude right now. There's no reason for you to go through an interval in which it looks like disaster strikes or something hurts you to be perceived as good someday, but right now it looks like you're going through some pain. He's saying, y'all got to get rid of that idea. You got to let that idea go that you ask for what you want, then there's got to be this interval that you go through that you don't have it and you're afraid, and then you can have it. He's like telling us, y'all got to cut out the middleman. You got to cut out this whole idea that you got to suffer for a while, and then one day you'll see that suffering is serving you a good purpose. Because he says, when you do that, you're sacrificing your happiness right now, and you sacrificing your happiness right now could not be the cost the Holy Spirit asks for what he gives without a cost at all. God is not asking us to sacrifice. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? What y'all think about that? That there's nothing asking you to suffer and sacrifice in order for you to receive the happiness that you deserve just by changing your mind and deciding you want to be a loving, good person. This book just told us as soon as you decided that was what you wanted to be, why could you not receive the benefits of that right now? Why does it have to wait until sometime in the future before you get some benefit from deciding to be a more loving person right now? That was the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us, well, I tell you why. He says, because you believe you need to be punished until you're finally free. You still got a sentence you put on yourself, and until you do your time, you're not going to let your happiness come. You know, if I don't believe I deserve to have it now, I got to fill up that interval until it happens. And he's saying, and we fill up that interval with sacrifice and suffering, and believing that we're going through all this stuff, and then one day we're going to look back on it and say it really was a good thing. And he's just saying, well, you didn't have to go through it, and you don't have to go through it, and even if you went through it in the past, you don't have to keep on going through it no more. That's what he's telling us. You know, that whole little thing can just stop right now. We can let go of the idea of happiness in the future. And he says it so beautifully here. He says, disillusion is a cause which, though untrue, must be already in your mind. And this illusion is but one effect that it engenders in one form in which its outcome is perceived. In other words, you can just stop right there. In other words, this interval in time when a retribution, a punishment, a pain is perceived to be the form in which your good appears, that's just one aspect of the little space that lies between you unforgiven still. So that little period of time where it looks like you're going through something that's not too cool, but one day you're going to see it as cool, that thing that you're going through right now that's painful for you, that you feel like one day it'll serve a good purpose and you'll see what it's for, that little thing that you're going through right now is just one little aspect of your unforgiveness of yourself. That is you giving yourself an experience of your unforgiveness of yourself and not seeing yourself as the innocent, beautiful, lovable, loving child of God that you are. So be not content with future happiness. Stop being content with happiness in the future. Happiness in the future has no meaning. Happiness in the future has no meaning. Happiness in the future is not your just reward. You have cause for happiness and freedom right now. It's unfair for me to love you and then have your happiness be in the future. Don't be content with future happiness. There's no such thing as future happiness. It's not your just reward. You deserve better than future happiness. You deserve happiness that's in your life right now. For you have cause for freedom now. What profits freedom if it looks like you're still a prisoner? Why should your deliverance, why should your happiness be disguised as death? I'll be happy after that. Delay is senseless.
Yeah.
And the reasoning that would maintain effects of a present cause of you being loving right now must be delayed until a future time is merely a denial of the fact that consequence and cause must come as one. Look, not to time, but to the little space between you to be delivered from. I no longer look for time to deliver you. Say, if I want to go for happiness, for real, I want the space between us. I want that little space between us to leave, that little bit of separation between us to happen. He says, stop trying to use time to get you out of your problem. The way you get yourself out of your problem is to be delivered from the little space between us. That little idea that your good isn't my good and my good isn't your good and me not wanting your good as much as I want my good. I need to be delivered from the little space between us that makes me think about my desires and my needs without thinking about yours and wanting you to have beautiful, wonderful things too. I need to be delivered from that space between us. He says, then you'll have happiness now. Then all the answers will come now. It will happen today. It will happen tonight. If we just want to be delivered from the little space between us and we stop being content with the idea of being happy in the future and let go of the idea that we got to sacrifice and suffer before we can be happy, we could be happy right now. You know what I'm saying? That's what this page is saying. And then it ends up like this. It says, I love this. He says, don't let it be disguised as time. And so preserved because its form is changed and what it is cannot be recognized.
Woo.
The Holy Spirit's purpose now is yours. What is the Holy Spirit's purpose? That you have complete, total happiness and fulfillment and peace and love and joy and abundance and oneness.
Now.
Okay, now. And so he says, and that's your purpose, right? Well, he's saying, if that's our purpose, shouldn't that happiness be ours also?
Yeah.
If that's my purpose, shouldn't I have the happiness for my purpose also? Mm-hmm. And those are the questions he ended it on. That's where I'm going to end it.
Ooh, mercy.
That was deep.
That was different, you know? The Course in Miracles says stuff different. That's what I love about it. Well... you come up with to convince yourself why what we just heard couldn't be true now. Because if we were really sane, let me tell you what would be happening.
We would be so
overjoyed if we really thought we were innocent, if we really thought we loved ourselves, if we really loved ourselves. I don't care how quiet you are. You would be jumping for joy and I would too.
Well, and the ego, instead of making me happy, it just made me mad.
Right.
I'm getting in the way of this. I'm doing something wrong. So then the ego takes over, and I'm focusing completely on the fact that I'm doing something wrong instead of hearing that it could be great right now.
Right, which we were just told was nothing but the time that you thought you needed to punish yourself until you could actually have the happiness. So even when it sounds so cool, it was still the same trick. You know, and that's the thing. Anything we come up with to justify us not wanting our own happiness right now is just another example of what we were being taught. This is just another way you've come up with to punish yourself until you believe it's okay for you to be delivered again. And so the course just makes you aware of what's going on. You can never say you're not aware anymore of what's really happening, even if a person chooses to go back and use the old excuses that they always have. You know now where it's coming from, and you also know you could have it tonight. And I need to know I can have it tonight. Whether I choose it tonight or not, it just feels good for me to know I could have it tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tonight.
Now. Thank you for sharing with me, Holy Spirit, and the Unity Temple. The Course in Miracles is a trip. It's a trip. The thing they had, the thought that they heard that they had the most resistance to. Why are we doing this? Anybody?
What about we have the most acceptance of it?
So what now?
Yeah.
The most acceptance
that's
of
what about that?
The most acceptance of.
Yeah, I accept that.
No, I would have asked it the way, that's the way I want to ask it.
Okay.
All right. What I wanted to ask was, what was the thing that you had the most resistance to?
My pain is my choice. That pisses me off.
Okay. Because in being willing to look at the thing that causes you pain, you dispel it. You won't dispel it by pretending it's not there. You dispel it by putting light on it. And the way you put light on it is to be honest with yourself about what you're feeling. So anytime you get into positive thinking, you think it's only focusing on what you think of as the positive, you're going to do yourself a nice little job because you're not really dealing with the thoughts that you're really thinking that you don't know about. And so therefore, you're not giving yourself a time to have it dispelled because you're too busy pretending that you don't have those thoughts. So it's not about being positive, it's about being who you are. And if you're being who you are, it will be the most positive thing you could ever imagine. The positive comes after who you are. You know what I mean? So it's got to be okay to look at any of your thoughts. You can't make any of your thoughts okay to look at and some that's not okay to look at. You accept all of your thoughts. You unfold all of your thoughts. And when you unfold all of your thoughts, they move through you and they can't cause you any pain. But when you go into denial about your thoughts, then you put them on a shelf within you and then they stay there and they fester within you. It's much better to just own all your feelings and admit all your feelings no matter what they are. Because in doing that, you are loving them. And you are loving yourself. Because loving yourself is accepting all of it. Not some of it. All of it.
Not judging it.
This is just the way I feel right now. And right now I don't feel happy about this. So right now I do feel happy. That's just the way I feel right now. Because rejected feelings cause illness and lack and pain. If you're in a lot of pain, you got a lot of feelings you're in denial about that you're not willing to take a look at so that you can dispel it. Because as soon as you look at it, you see it's so absurd that you won't believe in it no more. Because who you are is so much better than the crap you've been telling yourself, you won't even be fooled by it no more. That's how cool you are. You know you're not seeing yourself if you're not falling down on your knees in gratitude about how beautiful you are. That's how you know you haven't seen yourself yet. You would never be trying to figure out how to love yourself if you saw yourself, because yourself is so beautiful and so glorious. If you saw yourself, you couldn't possibly think anything negative about yourself because it would be too good.
Thank you.
That's my job. My job is to say the truth about you that's so loving that it stretches your capacity to receive it, almost to the point that you think I'm lying, or that I got a scheme up my, you know. That red boy, he really landed on. He piled it on high and deep. He's piling. He got a PhD. He's piling it high and deep. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the test though. The test is can you receive so much love that it brings up your awareness of your capacity to receive love? Why don't you live on the edge where your life is always giving you something so good that your biggest job is to increase your level of acceptance? It's not about getting anymore, seeking anymore. It's about accepting. And what's the one thing that we were told to accept? That we could have it now, that we could have it tonight, and that it was unfair to ourselves to believe that we got to suffer even though we've changed our purpose to be loving beings. Why can't we receive the benefit of that now? And it's saying you're absolutely right. You do deserve to receive the benefit of it now. But you're taking right now to tell yourself something that's making yourself afraid. And take that same energy he's telling us and use that to tell yourself stuff like, I don't deserve to have happiness in the future. That sounds negative, don't it? I don't deserve to have happiness in the future, but what you're really saying is, I deserve to have happiness right now. I deserve to have happiness now. I deserve to have peace now. I deserve to have a loving relationship now. I deserve to have a sense of safety and security now. I love myself so much, I will not set up any more time lag to my good. Call the future. The future is another name for lag time for your good. And if you do decide to have a lag time for your good, then use that in-between interval to prepare yourself to receive. Which is what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. You're hearing ideas that are so cool that when your reality reflects it, you'll go, oh, okay, I can let that happen. I got a concept of that. So Sunday. Thank you so much. No, really, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love it when people decide, they're trying to decide whether or not to do it. I like that end of a way. That's cool. You know, you get the will and you get the decision being made. And you have to be grateful for all of it. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for all of it. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. This shit is working.
Yeah.
In my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's working. New realities, new levels of love, new levels of peace. Watching stuff come now instead of later. Feeling all my feelings, whether they're anger, jealousy, insecurities, without judging myself or feeling guilt about it. And even when I forget and I screw up, I just get up off my knees and say, hey, you know what? I just won't do that again. And I go back out here and do it again, because there's nothing I can do that can make me really guilty as a child of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I have so much joy on the inside that I can't hardly contain it. And sometimes I feel like I'm going to explode, and because you magnetize it, you amp it up. It's like if I'm already feeling it, and I come in a room full of people that love me, then but because we don't know each other that well on a personality level, I tell myself incorrectly that I scare all of y'all away. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? That, you know, so it's like I don't know what I might do when you come, because I might just explode in my love for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm gonna want to give you more joy, more peace, more acknowledgement, and more support. It to the point that it might seem to you like it's an act, and I never come here to act. I never come over here to put on a show. Every time you see me do anything in this class is because that's what's spontaneously going through me at that time. I never plan anything. I never plan the class. I never know what I'm going to talk about until I ask the Holy Spirit when I get here. Everything you see in me is me trying to be as spontaneous and real as I can be in the moment. So I never know how I'm going to be. I just know that I feel my love and my connection to you more than ever before, so it makes me want to give more.
Holy smoke, girl.
Yeah, that's really, no, that's what I'm telling you. And that's what I'm telling you. You know, it's like this is not philosophy to me. This is not something that I'm trying to sit back and wonder whether or not I think is true. you know, I really want to be a means to give and receive love. I really want to be a voice for peace. I really want to be real. I really don't want to be pulling no bullshit. I'm tired of games. You know, I'm tired of, I want to go beyond people that see truth as a hobby. And they don't see their awakening as something that really is important. And that's what I feel like is happening. That's what I feel like I'm being surrounded by. That's what I feel like I'm experiencing with you. People who made a decision. Parts of myself that's made a decision. That's looking back at me saying, yeah, I've reached my limit of pain too. And I'm really ready to have my peace and my joy and my happiness right now. And I'm willing to admit I might not know everything. And that I did create myself. And there might be some answers I didn't think of. And I want to join with other people who had that same attitude. That they've had enough and they want it now. You know? I don't want to censor myself. I don't want to stop what I'm going to say because it seems like it's just something you're supposed to say if you're in church or will that offend somebody. You know, I don't want these limitations that I put on myself in order to be what I think people expect me to be as a spiritual teacher, which keeps me from being myself because I feel like I got this ideal I'm supposed to live up to that the world taught everybody about what I was supposed to be like as a minister. You know, it's so deep. It's like when you wake up to who you are, you don't want to be anything other than yourself, no matter who comes or goes in your life. Mm-hmm. Because you have so much to offer that you want to give, and you know being around people who can't accept you prevents you from giving. And if you can't give, you can't know the satisfaction that love gives. And it's easy to give to somebody I want to, so I try to stack every odds in my favor by being around people I love. Then I can be grateful for them for real because I really am grateful for you. So it's not a rush. It's not hard for me to be grateful for you. It's not hard for me to say thank God for the people in this room. I don't have to act that out, make myself say that. That's the way I feel about you. So because of how I feel about you, I get a chance to be really sincere for the first time in my life. Because I used to try to have to act like I like people I couldn't stand. Because I thought that was being spiritual.
Yeah.
But that was the whole spiritual game, trying to learn how to like everything you don't like. So I like y'all. I really do. I really, 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 really do. And whether you ever come back to my class again, I want you to have happy, fulfilling lives. Mm-hmm. I want everything to go right for you. I want you to be safe. I want you to always be safe. And everybody that you love, I want them to be safe. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being in my life.
Thank you.
I'll see y'all next time. I appreciate y'all.
Oh boy, oh boy.